Let's go. Let's go. What's up, Wake? Good morning, guys. What's up, Wake? Hey, as Ryan said, my name is Tegan Sisson. I'm in the Watermark Institute this year, so serve with foundation groups. That's our newly married community, essentially, and I'm stoked to be with y'all. I normally spend time when it comes to students with high schoolers. I have a group of Shoreline boys, so hopefully after this, get a little more time with y'all, get to hang out with you guys. But yeah, truly excited to be with y'all. Well, look, let me pray, and then we'll hop right in. So, Father, thank you for just a group of students who are here because they want to love you. They want to know you more. Lord, I pray that ultimately you speak this morning and not me. I pray I would not get in the way of whatever you have for these students. Father, I pray that today you would help them to see that you are good and that you want what's best for them, that your commandments are not burdensome, Lord, but ultimately they are there because you want abundant life for us. And I pray just seeing you clearly would draw them to love you more, draw them close to you, and help them to live a life of faithfulness, just out of devotion to you. So Lord, I pray your spirit moves and you work this morning for the good of every student in this room, no matter what their struggle is or where they're at, and ultimately for your glory. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to give you our topic right from the jump, okay? And Ryan mentioned it. So here's the topic. Obedience is better than disobedience. Like, you're probably thinking, wow, I'm so excited I came to Wake today. We're talking about obedience. Like, this is thrilling. This is going to be so fun. It's not as rigid as you think, but we are going to show you why that's the case, right? And some of you in here might honestly be thinking, like, man, I don't agree with that statement, that obedience is better than disobedience. But just like we've been doing and will continue to do in our Better Than series, we're going to show you why Jesus is better and why following him and what he says leads to life is better than anything the world has to offer, right? And so truly, bear with us because I think God's word has something to say to us on this topic. So I want us to go on a mental journey with me real quick, okay? Imagine this. It's June, it's midsummer, maybe like Saturday night, right? And you're bored out of your mind, you have no responsibilities. Really, your whole goal for this summer is just not to be bored, right? And you've been scrolling through TikTok for like 6 straight hours, and you're thinking, man, I love TikTok, but I'm not sure I can do this any longer. Like, I need to find something else to do. And then if you're like me, you probably scroll for one more video because that golden retriever is like super cute, and why not, right? But then you're like, okay, I'm done. I gotta find something else to do, right? So you're thinking through, like, dude, what can I do? Boom, light bulb moment. You're like, we should go to Andy's, right? Like, let's go. I'm gonna get myself like a James Brownie funky jackhammer, right? Or an Oreo concrete. Come on. If you know, you know, right? Thank you. I'm getting the chef's kiss over here from this guy. No, right? And you're like, man, I'm craving this concrete, but what's the only thing? No, let's put it this way. Who's the only person standing in your way from getting this concrete? Yeah, yeah, mom or dad, right? And so you're like, all right, I'm gonna put on my best suit and tie, right? I'm gonna fire up the PowerPoint, right? And I'm about to give the sales pitch of my life. So you go to find your mom, or better yet, like, let's be real, you probably call from your room and she comes and finds you, right? And you're like, it's game time, right? And you give it your all. Like, I mean, your hands are moving, the PowerPoint, you're clicking, right? The transitions are flawless, right? And it finally comes to an end and you're like, waiting for her response. And like the tension, it's palpable, the anticipation, right? Like, what's she gonna say? She says no. I know, dude, that is just not what we wanted to hear, guys. Like, that is not what we wanted to hear. But what's worse than that? What's like, because I mean, we just went through all that effort, right? Like, if I go through all that effort, like, mom, at least give me one reason. Give me one good reason. But what is the most frustrating answer she can possibly give us, right? Right, ready, ready? Let's all say it on three. One, two, three. Because I said so. Y'all, it's frustrating. Dude, it's frustrating, right? I know. But hey, I start there because I truly think sometimes this is how we view God. Like, we view the Bible as 66 books of because I said so. Like, we view God as a distant authority figure in the sky whose commands are just there to keep us from having fun, right? Truly, it's impossible, I think, for us to believe obedience is better than disobedience if our view of God is this. Guys, we read a passage like Psalm 1, which says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, and all that he does, he prospers." We read a passage like that, and we just don't believe it. And so today we're going to talk about three lies that keep us from believing obedience is better than disobedience. Number one, Jesus will rip you off. Number two, Jesus doesn't really have your best interests in mind. And number three, hey, God is good, but the world is better. And again, guys, I think it's impossible to believe that obedience is better than disobedience if our view of God is off and we believe these three lies that the world is telling us to believe. So today, we're going to be mainly looking at John 10, which talks about Christ as the good shepherd, right? Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that all things were created through him and for him, and that in him all things hold together, that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Consider that for a second. All things were created through him, and in him all things hold together. So as we look to compare what Jesus says leads to life versus the lies the world tells us, and as we seek to see how obedience is better than disobedience, I think it's worth noting how foolish it would be for us to look at the creator of us and life itself and to be like, no, you know what, God? Like, I think you know better, or I think I know better of what is the best way to live life, what my best interests are. And honestly, I don't even think it's just foolish. Like, I think it's tragic when that same creator has our best interests in mind and cares as deeply for us as we'll see God does today. So we'll look to John 10 today, to the example of Christ, to learn about the very character of God. Because again, if Jesus is the image of the invisible God, we can look to him and see the character of God and how we can trust that he has our best interests in mind. So again, we'll be in John 10, but before we start, I think it might be helpful to give some context, right? We live in Dallas, Texas, so I think the word shepherd and sheep, right, they're not super relatable to us, but I think it's important to remember that at Jesus's time, his audience wouldn't have blinked, right? They all knew what a shepherd was and the role that one played. And so for our sake, what is a shepherd? Why does Jesus describe that, use that word to describe himself? And who are the sheep in this passage? A shepherd, simply put, is someone who cares for, tends to, feeds, guides, and guards their sheep. And the sheep in this passage is the people of God, right? It's those who have put their trust in Christ. It's believers. And so if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be reading John 10, verses 7 through 18. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So it will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father. So lie number one, Jesus will rip you off. But what does verse 10 say? Verse 10 tells us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the lie is Jesus will rip you off. But the truth is that Jesus isn't trying to rip you off. That's the world. That's the enemy. That's sin. The truth is that Jesus came to give you life, and he came to give it to you abundantly. But I think what's true of some of us in here is some of us in here are like, yeah, that's all well and good, but when I do what I want to do, it feels good. Like, if it feels good, what's wrong with it? I think I might just keep doing it. But if God wants what is best for us, then I think we at least have to consider that his commandments are there for our good. Guys, part of an abundant life is not being in bondage to sin. What do I mean by that? Maybe you've lied, right? Or maybe you've watched something you shouldn't have, and now you have to constantly keep looking over your shoulder. You have to constantly keep lying and constantly keeping up the act, right? Honestly, like, let's put it this way. Some of you right now in this room might be scared to death if someone took your phone and started looking through your search history. You'd be scared to death, truly, of what they might find and what tabs might still be open, right? And if that's true of you in this room, like, I am not casting a stone because that was me. Like, that was me at your age, right? But if that's you, like, that's, guys, that's not abundant life, right? Like, that is not God's best for you. That's bondage. That is absolute misery. Let's put it this way. Proverbs 10:9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Guys, ultimately, his commandments don't keep us from experiencing something. They lead us to experiencing something better. A commentary on verse 10 puts it this way. Jesus calls his followers not to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, one overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God and in continual fellowship with his people. So lie number two, Jesus doesn't have my best interest in mind. Well, what does verse 11 say to that? Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So the lie is, hey, Jesus doesn't have my best interest in mind. Like, I know what you said, and that, hey, yeah, he wants abundant life, but like, give me a good reason to believe that, because I just don't believe Jesus has my best interest in mind. But what does verse 11 say? Verse 11 tells us that the truth is that Jesus does have your best interest in mind, and he proves it here, because Jesus validates the claims he makes in verse 10. How do we know he truly wants us to have abundant life? How do we know that he really has our best interest in mind? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Romans 8:32 puts it this way. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The proof that Jesus cares for us is in the fact that he has laid down his life for us. But I think some of us in here have not been given any good reason to trust someone who says they have their best interest in mind. A lot of us in here have been promised again and again that someone wants our best, and they failed us. Maybe there's been people who are supposed to care for us, and they failed again and again. Honestly, some of us in here have not been given any good reason to trust someone when they say they have our best interest in mind. And if that's true of any of you in here, I just want to say, like, that's hard. And I'm really, really sorry if that's the case. And I also want to say, that's not what God wants for you. That is not the experience he wants you to have. and he's grieved by that. And that is why he came. And I also want to say, and go a step further, if that is true of you, and guys, this is hard. This is not easy. But I would encourage you, talk to your wake leader. Or if you're not in a small group, talk to one of the wake team. Because not only does God not want that for you, we do not want that for you. And you're not meant to bear that burden alone. We would love to come alongside you with that. But guys, we can trust that obedience to Christ is in our best interest because of the care he displays for us and his willingness to lay down his life. When we doubt that God has our best interest in mind, we can remind ourselves of this gospel. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Guys, I think most of my life, like, that has not been my opinion. Like, I grew up in the church, so, like, I will give you Christian speech, and I know the right things to say, but if I'm being honest, most of my life, I did not believe that. Like, I'm like, no, his commandments are burdensome. But what I've learned, and what I've learned by disobedience to the Good Shepherd, is that his commandments aren't burdensome. The way I want to live, that's burdensome. When I follow my own way, that's burdensome. His way, way more free and way more full of life. So lie number three. All right, maybe you've convinced me, hey, God is good. Sure, but man, the world is still better. Lie number three, God is good, but the world is better. But what does verses 12 and 13 tell us? Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Maybe some helpful context here, like who's the hired hand? Let's put it this way, this might be helpful. Let's say your family goes out of town, right, and you hire a dog sitter. And the dog sitter's job, they're being paid to care for the dog, right? Like that is their job. But it's not their dog. Like they don't love that dog like you love your dog, right? They don't know your dog like you know your dog, and better yet, your dog doesn't know them the same, right? I think that's helpful, and I think we can rightly compare the hired hand to that, right? And so, reading verses 12 and 13, right? The truth is that God is better because unlike the world, he will never leave you, right? We're seeing the opposite of verse 11 here, right? We're seeing the hired hand flee when he sees the wolf come and the danger come, right? Whereas Jesus is like, man, I want what's best for you so much that I will lay down my life for you. Guys, the world sees the wolf coming and it leaves the sheep. The world, it's gonna leave you empty. It's gonna leave you ashamed. It's gonna leave you unsatisfied and it's gonna leave you lonely. But I think what's true for some of us in here, is some of us have chosen disobedience. Some of us have chosen to believe those lies, right? But maybe you've looked up now and you're alone, right? Maybe you've looked up and all of a sudden the world is gone, that friend that pressured you is gone, those temptations are gone, and you're left all by yourself facing the consequences for your action. You're sitting alone in shame, you're sitting alone in pain and hurt, looking around and the world has fled. It's gone. And the enemy's fled, only turning around just in time to shame you, right? All the while, Jesus was sitting here, the good shepherd who had laid down his life for us. He wants abundant life for us that bad. All the while waiting for us to turn to him, right? So what do I do if I'm this person who's chosen disobedience and now I feel alone? I'm hurting and I'm facing the consequences and I'm scared. Well, if we keep reading, verses 14 and 15 say, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus knows his sheep. He knows you. So he's not surprised by your disobedience. He's not surprised by your need for help. He's not surprised by your brokenness. He had all of this in mind when he went to the cross. He had all of this in mind when he laid his life down for the sheep. So if you're sitting there thinking, okay, now what? Here's my encouragement and here's the application for you. Confess. Confess the lies you've been believing. Let others in that will help you trust him daily. Because friends, in my own life, I have tested the warnings of Scripture and found them to be true. And now I am testing the promises of Scripture and finding them to be true. And guys, I'm not your 45-year-old relative who's just saying, don't do it because I said so. Like, I'm not much older than you guys. I'm 22. And honestly, the years separating you and me are the years of which I accumulated the most amount of scars and hurts because I chose disobedience to a good shepherd who only ever wanted abundant life for me. And guys, not only am I not just telling you because I said so, God's not doing that. God's giving you very valid reasons. He's saying, because I want what's best for you and because I am good. So what do I do? What do I do if I'm this person? Well, I think one of the ways the Good Shepherd brought me back and called me back into his flock and healed some of those wounds I had accumulated was through confession. So I would encourage you guys, talk to your wake leader. Confess. Guys, I know this isn't easy. It's never easy, but it is so worth it. Talk to a wake leader. Talk to your small group leader. Talk to the wake team. Talk to a parent and confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Not that so people can cast shame on you, not so you can feel bad about yourself, so that you may be healed. Again, abundant life. The commands aren't there to keep us from something. It's leading us to experiencing something better. And so to those in the room who have not trusted in Christ as your good shepherd, as your savior, those that are not in his flock under the care of the good shepherd that he is, I would encourage you that today can be that day. Guys, you do not have to clean yourself up before you come into his flock. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, just like he said he would do as the good shepherd, laid down his life for us, paid the penalty of our sins. He took the wrath and turned the wrath of God away that we deserved. He redeemed us. Now he's seated at the right hand of God. He rose and he's interceding for us, those that have trusted in him as our savior. Guys, today can be that day. Talk to Jonathan, talk to Parker, talk to AC or Ryan or any wake leader. And if you want to take that step today, talk to us. Or if you just have questions and you're like, man, I'm not sure, but I want to dig deeper, we would love to walk alongside you in that. So in conclusion, friends, obedience is better than disobedience when you are under the care of the good shepherd who only wants abundant life for you. Guys, and it's not just better. Obedience leads to blessing, and that blessing is knowing intimately the love and character of Christ. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So what does this obedience look like? It looks like not taking part in those things that hinder that intimacy. Confessing when you do, and turning and repenting, going back to the good shepherd who desires abundant life for you and I. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that your commandments are not burdensome, but they are there for our good. Thank you that that is who you are. That is some of the best news in the world, that the God of the universe is good. Father, I pray that you would help us to believe that. I pray that you would help us to see that you are good, see your character for what it is, and believe that obedience is better than disobedience because of who you are, what you've done for us, Lord, and what you want for us. Father, I pray that that would empower us to be obedient. I pray that would empower us to be faithful. Lord, I pray that you would give the courage to any student in this room who has something that's keeping them from abundant life and intimacy with Christ. You would give them the courage to confess that to a leader, as hard as it is. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to open up if not even sin, but we're just struggling because there's people who have not fulfilled promises, or people that are supposed to care for us that have been failing, and we're in pain and we're hurting. Lord, we're not meant to walk in that alone. So whether it's confession or need for community, Father, I pray that you would move and that you would give courage so that students could do that, Lord. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Pray your will be done and you would work for the good of every student in this room and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.